time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, we're ever expanding here at Pass the Salt Ministries. I'm trying to figure out what to do with this slide. I'm going to change studios here, folks. I don't know if I told you this or not, but we're changing locations here in a couple weeks. Hope that ordeal is going to be over. And I didn't look around my studio and figure out if I'm smart enough to figure out how to put this thing back together. But we'll do the best that we can. But we're ever expanding here. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not. We got a team. We're really working really, really hard. Listen, this is Coach Dave live. And folks, I want to be more than a guy that comes through your internet. I mean, I'm live. You can tune in here every 5 days a week and I'm live. But that's not what I do. That's not really what I want to do. I want to be Coach Dave and live on the street like a reporter, like a fighter. I want to be able to take you with me to the streets. That's ultimately what we want to be able to do here at Coach Dave Live. And when that happens, there's a lot of things that are involved with. For instance, tomorrow morning's broadcast is going to be brought to you live from Louisville, Kentucky. Live. I'm going to be on the street in Louisville, Kentucky, probably broadcasting over my little cell phone. I don't know of any other way to do it. See, it's hard to do a production like this, like as clear as this is with a nice background and all that. It's hard to do that off of a cell phone, right? It's hard to do that. Now, Jared, our web guy, is just doing fabulous stuff. He's got all kinds of new stuff that they're working in every day. I got Sarge. Sarge is working to build the brigade. I got Gary's involved with it. I got Chad involved with it. We got Tim involved with it. We got Rob involved with it. I'm forgetting names. I mean, all kinds of names. We are actively trying to expand what we do. See, I don't want to be Rush Limbaugh, who sits behind a microphone and tells us how everything should be. What was his first book? See, I Told You So. Well, I can say that. I could do that. But I don't want this just to be an hour of we discuss and then we go on with the rest of our lives. I want to motivate you to stand up and make a difference right where you live. And a lot of times that happens when we go. Now, stop. Come on now. You're a big boy and big girl out there. I want you to think about this. Got work going on behind the scenes. Jared is a paid employee. All right? And I've got a good set of volunteers who are doing a lot of time, putting a lot of time and effort into what they're doing. And we want to be able to expand this thing. You know, I don't want this to sound bad. It's just the truth. God bless Sarge. Sarge is doing what he does for free. A lot of time he does it for free. I got others who are doing what they do for free. God bless them. I appreciate it. But, you know, we're only going to be able to go so far if we continue to have me and Jared being it. You get what I'm saying? So, folks, we're opening up something new. I don't want to do a commercial. I want to show you this at the beginning, what we're doing. I'm going to hand it over to Sarge because he's done a lot of – see, he's not a Sarge. He's a colonel, okay? He's a colonel, a retired colonel. And I just call him Sarge first time I met him. That's just kind of the way I hang a nickname on somebody, and I started calling him Sarge. And he didn't hit back, so I figured that was okay. I demoted him to promote him, however that works. Sometimes you got to go down to go up. I learned that. That's the greatest lie. The ladder of success, baby. It ain't a ladder. Uh-uh. It's going up, and it's going down, and it's going across, and it's falling. It's all of that stuff. So Sarge has been working really hard. Jared's been working really hard. Gary's been working really hard. Sarge has put together a Patreon website. Say, I don't know, Coach, what are you talking about? Folks, we're trying to do everything we can to up our financial support without having it being a burden on anybody at all. We want to be able to take the Salt and Light Brigade across America. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we want to be able to do. And if you think this work's valuable, we need you. Sarge, tell us a little bit about Patreon is so we can get into what we want to talk about today because I got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, hopefully if you click on Jared, he'll show you the page. It's simply patreon.com / Coach Dave Live. And it's a site where we're going to start connecting and sharing all of Coach's content and everything that we do in the brigade, whether it's a live event or a speaking engagement or articles that are being written, links to the audio or the shows itself. It's a one-stop place so that, especially if you're not a Facebook user, this is a great place for you to find out what's going on in the ministry. And coupled along with what we're doing with the website, which is CoachDaveLive.com, we have an event planner or an event calendar on that page, which we put everything wherever the coach is going to be or whether whatever we're doing with the brigade. And we've got three big things coming up that we've just decided on the dates here. Last week, October 26th, we're going to be up in Marshfield, Wisconsin, to break in Rob Pugh's new facility in Marshfield. That's going to be a regional headquarters for the brigade in the Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan area.
Sarge, we're dividing the brigade right now into regionals, like FEMA regions, right? Explain that real quickly.
That's what we're looking to do. We're going to try to have a regional presence in each of the 10 FEMA regions. Our second region, Region 6, which is down in the Texas area, Chad Estes and his wife, Michelle, are sponsoring some brigade gatherings once a month down there. And so our goal ultimately is to have a regional spot that you, if you live in a particular state, can sort of fall in on that regional area. If we can find 10 people that we can duplicate, like Rob and Chad for their two regions. And our goal is to have an
opportunity. Gary's working Ohio for us as well.
And Gary's working Ohio. Our goal is to give you places that, when you're not involved with the show, there's some opportunities to gather and to have fellowship and to study and train together and, you know, more to follow on all of that. But the last thing I want to...
We have the event with Pastor Mike Spalding coming up here August. I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah, August 4th
through 7th, right here in Ohio, in Lima, Ohio. That's on the site as well.
Right.
Hang on just a second, Sarge. Listen, folks, listen. Talk's cheap. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of talk. And nobody doing anything. I'm sick of it. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to, as Sarge is helping build this thing and put it together, we're trying to mobilize little units of the Salt and Light Brigade in different areas of the nation. I'm not content sitting in a studio talking to people. We've got Limbaugh, we've got Hannity, we've got Savage, we got Levin, pick whoever you want to. And then none of them do anything. I'm trying to spur us on to action. One thing you know about us, we are Coach Dave, and we are live. We go boots on the ground tomorrow. Be a live one, boots on the ground tomorrow. But listen, we need you. We don't need your money. We need you. We need you. We need your commitment and your boots on the ground to get more involved than just being a casual listener. And so, Sarge, I didn't mean to step all over you, but that's where we're heading with this Patreon site, is they can become actual active supporters. Go ahead and bang on that one a minute, Sarge.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got a big mega boot camp scheduled for October 27th through the 29th in Milwaukee. And the whole idea is the Patreon site, you know, maybe you, like Coach said, maybe you aren't able to come, but you can throw 10 or 20 bucks our way so that we can pay for somebody else to come to the boot camp. So it all helps because we support each other, whether we support each other financially or boots on the ground or through our prayer intercessions that we ask for people to do. It's all very powerful when you bring it all together. And that's our goal, is to bring, not only from a national perspective, but a regional perspective, people in states making a difference in their local areas. Because there's going to come a time when we're probably not going to be on the internet, because the internet's going to be closed down to us. And we need a downline, as Coach likes to call it. You need to be able to stay connected, that if we're not here to give you the guidance and help that you get from the shows, that you're going to be able to pick up the pieces when things get really ugly in your local areas and be the beacon of light that you need to be. And that's what I think Pass the Salt is all about, is salt and light, being the salt and light.
Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com. That's where it is.
/Coach Dave Live.
I'm sorry. /Coach Dave Live. Thanks, Sarge. We'll get that out to you. Hey, folks, listen, I want you to think about this, okay? I've said this before. If we could get 1,000 of you giving $20 a month, can you do the math on that? That's $20,000. And you say, well, what? My goodness. What's he going to do with $20,000? He's going to build himself a big house? Well, okay, come on. Is the enemy, are they counting nickels? Is the enemy going out selling ice cream, trying to raise money to go fight the ACLU and all those God-hating organizations? Are they George Soros? Are they struggling for money out there? We can build an army with, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? $20,000 a month, what we could do? Well, you have to have the vision to see it. But if your $20 is more important than this vision that we're fighting a war for Western civilization, folks. And I don't know where you live. Sarge, you live up there in Maine, and I see some of the guys on there, George, clear out there in Oklahoma, $2.35 just for a gallon of gasoline. I mean, come on, right? I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. I got to pay the same money that the God haters pay. I got to go to Louisville, Kentucky tomorrow. Got to get a hotel, gas, yada, yada, yada. We got the money to do it. But wouldn't it be great if five guys could go with me? Wouldn't that be great? What do you think Soros is doing? I don't want to be George Soros. I don't want to bang on that drum anymore, man. You either get it or you don't get it. But this site, patreon.com/CoachDaveLive. That's where they find it, right, Sarge?
Forward slash.
One of them slashes. If the one slash doesn't work, then go hit that other slash. And we're working really, really hard to do the best we can. So a lot of people are. But you know, Rob Pugh, I ought to have Rob on here with us someday. Rob has a national ministry, and he says nobody's doing what you guys are doing. Nobody is. Nobody is mobilizing people. Nobody is. I'm thinking about even on Wednesday. I'm not going to let this cat out of the bag. I have another on-the-street activity on Wednesday or Thursday that's going to really, really rock if it comes together. And I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet and tell you what it is. Those of you who watch what we do, we do. We go, we do. And we think it's important. And, man, if the church just went and did, huh? Anybody got anything to throw in there? Let's get into the show here. Let's get rolling here on the show. Man, got a lot of stuff to talk about. Hey, I don't want to be a church basher, okay? Jared, go to my Facebook page real quick. I don't want to go to a church basher. But at the same time, I look at the game films. I've told you that before. I'm a football coach. I look at the game films. I decide why we're winning and why we're losing. I look at the war that's going on. See, listen, folks. Is Christianity about personal salvation only? Is that it? Jesus came and died on the cross just for you to be saved. Is that really it? Goes no farther than that? And what I see happening in many, many churches, I was a victim of it. That's why it sticks in my gut so like mud sticking in my gut. Nobody ever trained me to do anything with my faith. Nobody even went to church yesterday. Michelle and I went to Pastor Dunphy's church, and I didn't know he's on vacation. It's okay. No, sorry, he's on vacation. His son spoke and did a great sermon on the fact that we don't even get people saved. We talk about that, how that's a sinner, what we're all supposed to do. And you don't even share the gospel with the person you work with. We don't even do that. We don't even share the gospel with our neighbors. Yeah, we talk all this about, we got to get people saved. We got to get people. Well, you don't even do that. Don't even do that. We don't even do that. Hey, Sarge, I got a question here real quick. It just popped on while I'm thinking of it. It says, I already give $50 a month on your PTS website. Should I sign up on the Patreon? What do you think about that, Sarge? Somebody's already donating $50.
No, I mean,
it doesn't matter. It'll go into the same pot. And we'll send, if you're donating on that site. See, one of the things we're going to do with Patreon, we're going to send you stuff. We're going to send you CDs. We're going to send you a hat. We're going to send you stuff. So we'll make sure that everything that they get on Patreon, you'll get as well. Good question. Good question. So we don't even train people to get people saved. Come on here. Come on. And if you were, I was playing golf last night, went out, played a little bit of golf. I love playing golf. I pray there's beautiful golf courses in heaven. And if there are golf courses in heaven, JR, would every shot be a hole in one? That wouldn't even be fun, would it? Every shot you hit was a hole in one. That wouldn't be fun. I'm going to figure out how the Lord's going to figure that one out. But I overheard a conversation yesterday. It was really crowded, so we're kind of standing at, with a group of people. I overheard this conversation. Listen now, I'm not just telling you stories. Overheard this conversation where they were talking about somebody who got religion. And they said, it was fascinating to hear. They said, you know what? If you listen to that guy tell his story, he'll tell you. He'll tell you back when he was young, he was an acid head and he took acid and, I mean, he smoked dope all the time he was growing up. And he said, you know what? I think that does something to the brain. Guys are talking. I think it does something to the brain. And then they get Jesus, and then Jesus just gives them the same feeling that they had with acid. And so Jesus really is just kind of a form of drug. I'm listening to this stuff. Right? I'm listening to this. The life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And these guys don't even get it. They don't even get it. They think it's religion. Hey, dudes, I could right now, right this very minute, turn into the most vile heathen that you've ever, right now I could do it, man. My beautiful wife, I just gave her a big hug. She's always pointing upstairs. She's not in heaven. She's up above me. I gave her a big old hug this morning, told her how much I love her. We had a picture. She had a picture there of when we first met and we were hugging on each other. You know how you do when you first met. So, man, I love you so much more than I did in that picture. Are you kidding me? You think how deep my commitment to Christ is? It's better than any drug. It's better than, I never did drugs. It's better than alcohol. It's better than any of that stuff. It's better than anonymous hookup call. It's all so much better. And it's ain't out of an addiction, although I guess it's an addiction. But I'm going to oh, man, I got so much to share with you today. See, the church won't even do what the church says it does, should do. Get people saved. We want to get people saved. No, we don't. No, we don't. And then if we do get them saved, is that the end all? And you can read throughout, you read throughout the Bible and you, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. See, the purpose of salvation is to turn you into a warrior for the cause of Christ. It's not for you to sit back. See, oh, I got a drawing. I can do it. I don't know if you guys can see it. I got two circles. And then this circle is worldly salvation. You get saved because of the good things you get out of being saved. Okay? And then the other side, you have spiritual salvation. Well, you have no longer have a desire for these things, but now you've jumped over and you're into this other kingdom. And what's happening is these two are blending so much that people who are in this kingdom, in this worldly kingdom, for all the goodies that you can get, they think they're in this kingdom. And they've never really transferred. They've never ever really left this worldly lust, love of worldly, they've never left. And they got saved thinking that when they got saved, that Jesus would give them all that stuff in that circle. Somebody say amen, because I know I'm telling you the truth. See, I know. And what happened to me is when I got saved, I was in this kingdom over here. I didn't know any better. And then all of a sudden, something happened to me, and I got translated out of this kingdom of the world into the kingdom of his dear son. You can call it an addiction if you want to. Call it whatever you want to. That's why, JR, I'm telling them over and over and over, broad and narrow, many and few. It's all throughout the scriptures, folks. It's all throughout. And the sad truth of it is, are you hearing me? Many of the people that you run into, they're not even saved. They're saved into this material world rather than out of the world. They're saved into the material world. I see, listen, I like golfing. I like nice things. I like to go eat a big steak. I'm not saying you ignore the worldly things, but that doesn't motivate me. I don't live my life filling up this worldly circle. I live my life with the spiritual circle. And most people have never been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. They've said a prayer. They've walked an aisle. Jared, you got my Facebook page up there? It's funny. I know I got a hot one when I had about four different people send me this. I saw this yesterday. Thinking, man, I got to get to the show here. I got to show people this. And then about three or four people emailed me and said, Coach, you got to look at this. So that's what we're doing here. This, folks, this is unbelievable. I'm not even going to comment anymore about it. Oh, Jared, I better tell you what I'm looking for here, man. Let me find. I'm sorry, Jared. No, it's not that one. Scroll down, Jared, I think. Oh, boy. I'm going to go through this one again. I should have just, there it is, Jared. There it is. That guy right here. Okay, folks, I'm not even going to say anything. I'm reading this. I put up on my Facebook page. I'm not even sure what to say. This is from Life Church. And it says, hey, George, you listening? We here at we are live here at the movies at our Life Church Northwest Oklahoma City campus. In other words, they got several campuses. Okay. You have to see what they've done here. He's proud of this. Okay. Now, wait a minute. What did Jesus say? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Guys, I'm going to shut up. We're going to play this 5 minutes, and I want you to tell me what you think. Hang on. Coach, we've got to reach a loss. Whatever we have to do, this is a new society, and it's a new day, and people don't think like they used to think. And, Lord, this millennial generation, we got to do whatever we can do to reach them. And, Coach, we got to come up with all types of techniques and whatever we can do to get them into the church house. If we can just get them into the church house, and then we'll get them saved. Okay, here you go. Go and play, Jared.
Hey, what's going on, Life Church, especially our Facebook community? We are live right here. We're actually, if you've read the title, you know that we're live from our Northwest Oklahoma City campus. And it's the first week of July, which means it's the first week of our popular summer series called At the Movies. We're blowing out at all of our Life Church locations, even at Church Online. And so we're here at our Northwest Oklahoma City campus. I want to give you a sneak peek of what's going on. We're standing outside, but the outside is nothing compared to what thousands and thousands of hours from volunteers have done inside. Let's go right in. Come on, let's make it happen. As you can see, inside looks nothing like it normally does here on a weekend. Here at the Life Church Northwest Oklahoma City campus, they've gone through and have transformed their lobby to look like the set of a very popular movie where you might find yourself in Kansas for a little bit, but then you leave and you're definitely no longer in Kansas. We're in a really magical area. We've got the yellow brick road here. If you want to turn around, they actually have a photo booth here with a hot air balloon. We've got flying monkeys, the Wicked Witch of the West, all kinds of things for you to interact with. Now, here's the thing. It's called At the Movies. That's the what. But here's the why. One of our core values here at Life Church is that we'll do anything short of heaven to reach people that don't know Christ. At the Movies is the best example that we do all year of that. When we take popular movies, we pull biblical truth right out of them to teach the gospel. It's one of the best things that we do. One of the best series really to invite anybody to come to. Now here's something they've got really special here at Northwest. Take a look at this. Completely done by volunteers. You actually got a 3D hologram going on right here. The great and powerful, we'll call him Oz. I think that we can do that. Hologram that fully interacts. These campuses go all out. Here's the thing, it's all volunteer-led because we know we're not just here to consume spiritually, we're here to contribute. So volunteers literally take off work. They stay here until midnight, 2 in the morning, or anything like that, just to put in the hours to transform these lobbies. We're not done. We've got Life Kids over here as well. This is something really cool they've done too. They've got a real-life tornado spinning in the lobby as you enter Life Kids. Now, here's the thing, too. At Life Church, we're very passionate about the next generation. So we didn't leave your kids out with At the Movies either. They're watching kid-friendly movies inside the classroom, and they're also having their own At the Movies. So your kids are going to love it. It's built for the whole family. Again, it's the best. It's really one of the best times to invite people to come to Life Church. See, we've got our live princess here to greet our kids as they come in. You can take them through our Life Kids tunnel. Just come here and check this out. I'm telling you, it looks like a theme park in here. Your kids are not going to want to leave. It's unbelievable. Every corner, every nook and cranny of the campus completely transformed for you and your friends, your family, your framily, we'll call it that, to come and check out Life Church. We'll make our way back out here. And just here in our Life Kids lobby. Now, here's the thing. at the Movies is available at all of our live church locations or at Church Online. Those are the only places that you can have a chance to see it. If you want to go back and watch it at a later time, you can't do it because we're using movies. So you got to get here to experience it for yourself. Walking through the lobby is pretty cool, but you got to come, see, take pictures, touch, see all of the kind of stuff that we've got going on at all of our Life Church locations. To find a location closest to you, just go to life.church and you can click the region where you're located. Find a campus that's closest to you. See all the times I've got there. And if you don't have a campus near you, you can always check it out at Church Online. They have experiences happening throughout, dates coming to you throughout the entire month of July. And remember, whoever finds God finds life.
Okay, now let me jump in here real quick. I'm not against gimmicks to get people to come in. I'm not against that. My question is, what's the message? What's the message? What do you guys think? Am I an old fogey here? Come on, somebody jump in here.
Looks like technology entrapment to me, and I'd sure like to know what definition they have about all the rainbow colors they're using.
Yeah, well, Sarge, you always have that analytical eye. See, this is what this is. Remember, I was telling you, folks. Remember, I was telling you about the two worlds, right? Christ in your world. Or you in Christ's world. Yeah, they're not the same, see? And I see stuff like this drawing people in Christ in the world. Christ stays in the world, not translated into his world. Go ahead, George. Because, George, it's in your neighborhood up there. Evidently, they have campuses. Campuses.
Coach, I've been to Life Church. Our kids go there occasionally. And so Pam and I have been a couple times. And, you know, the concerning thing to me is there's really – very little to no talk of repentance. Again, it's kind of that light, soft message, feel good, some truths here and there, but you don't hear the message of repentance. And isn't really that's what's needed in our culture today?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Again, I should have the picture of that, the two worlds. Christ in your world or you in Christ's world. It's not, see, you can have it both, but one's a counterfeit. One is a counterfeit. Christ calls you to die and leave that world and come and live in this kingdom and impact that one. We don't invite Christ to come in and take control of this world, this earthly world. It's a spiritual transformation. I don't know. Maybe I see him, as JR would say, maybe I see a rain cloud behind every sunshine. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, man? Anybody?
I think it's a three-ring circus, Coach, and I think it's a very grievance unto our Lord and Savior, and you know that.
Pastor Dale. God bless you, Pastor Dale. It's a three-ring circus, isn't it? Dale's a pastor down in Louisiana. Dale, it's a circus, is it not, brother? Huh? You're not doing this kind of stuff to draw people in.
It's an absolute show. It's a circus. It's a people pleaser. It does not please God. It grieves God. There's no doubt that he looks over that place like he looked over Jerusalem and how he longed to gather her.
What would you say, Dale, to those people who say, well, at least they're getting them in to hear the word. At least this millennial generation, they're different. You got to do something. You got to draw them in.
Well, I personally, it doesn't matter what I think. I think what Jesus would say is woe unto him who becomes the stumbling block. I think that's the concern, is that they become a stumbling block under the kingdom of God because they think they've found salvation and they have not.
Yeah, oh boy. That's exactly. See, that's what I think, folks. And so they're living out a different gospel. That's what I see, a different gospel. And that's why I think we're in the mess that we're in. Oh, Jared, I got to send you there. I found it. Hang on. Jared, I'm going to forward this to you right now, and you're going to get this up on the screen for us. Hang, bear with me, folks. This just popped up. I was looking at it earlier this morning, and I found it. Thank you, Lord. I give credit to whoever credit.
While you're looking.
Go ahead, Coach. Go ahead. Yeah, Dale, go ahead.
Here's a line to go with your prayer in the air and the boots on the ground. Moody said this, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather.
Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Is that ever it, man? That's it. So, hey, Dale, I'm going to be down with Rusty and those guys tomorrow down in Louisville, lifting them up, standing with them down there. So, I know your prayers are heading that way.
Well, we are, and that's why I'm able to be on your show this morning, because I'm kind of taking this week off to prepare the trailer, to prepare to head that way, brother.
It's going to be a week, isn't it? It is for sure. Rod, did you want to say something? Please. Looks like you just popped in on us there.
Oh, I was just going to say, in relation to that Oklahoma church, you know, this type of stuff has been going on for a long time. It looks like they're a cutting edge, but,
cutting edge to what? Cutting edge to what?
You just have to ask yourself, the church has never been weaker because it's been fed this stuff.
Yep. It is, and so that's why there's no depth to our faith. Okay, Jared, good, you got it. Guys, up on your screen, Jared, pop down there where it says read online. Because I just glanced through this morning when I was doing some prep for the show here, and I thought, man, I ought to use this, but I just didn't feel I had to do it. This guy's writes a blog about being born again, lesson 31. Scroll down the bottom, Jared, and here's what he's talking about. And I want you to get this picture, because this is the picture that I've been trying to paint. There it is. There it is. That picture right there. Do you guys see the screen? Those are the two types of saves. Salvation, see? You have the selfish, which is a saved into the world. And then you have those who are saved into Christ. And what we see so much of going on is the black one, where people are bring Jesus into their world, and then he blesses everything in their world. Rather than leaving the world, being now in Christ, and then returning back and impacting the world. See the difference in those two guys? And I think one of the things that we're dealing with the most is this very issue in our churches. People who have walked an aisle, said a prayer, and now they've invited Jesus to come and join them in their natural fleshly world. Good picture, isn't it?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Yeah. Coach, you know, and I can tell you this, that Life Church and churches like it, there's absolutely not one mention of going and rescuing babies at the abortion clinic, doing the stuff that we're doing here in the brigade. There's no mention of that. So that confirms that it's just a personal salvation, trying to bring Jesus into our culture rather than what you're saying, us being transformed into his kingdom.
Amen, brothers. And you know that it's a spiritual kingdom, and we all struggle, including me. We all struggle to get in and out of the flesh. Hey, Jared, pull up Romans 7. I want to share from this today. Folks, the scripture said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But if you don't think that you wrestle with flesh and blood, if you don't think you personally do, well, that's the whole gospel, man. That is the whole gospel. Delivering you out of control of your life by the natural world, by the fleshly things that you see with your eye and you hear with your ears, you smell and you touch, it'll give you victory over the temptations of the fleshly world. Now, hey, listen, I love the things of the world. I love Ohio State football. I love to watch the game. I love to play golf. I could give you a lot of things in the world that I love to do. I love to go out on a boat with my family. I love to do that stuff, but I'm not motivated by that. See, it doesn't have me, I have it. It doesn't dictate my life. And I don't go out on the golf course and say, Lord, help me shoot a 32 today. I don't go out and play golf and have fun, get mad, throw my club, and act like everybody else. But I'm no longer controlled by my flesh. We can't deny we're flesh. How can you deny that? Here's what I'm trying to help us to see. We are bringing the spiritual world into the fleshly world. We are not killing the flesh. We are asking God, please come and bless this natural fleshly world in which we live. Now, the truth is, the reality of it is, we all live in this world. We have to be in this world. And so, therefore, that draw and that impact upon us is so strong, it never seems to go away. That is the battle. Now, George, at that Life Church, and I'm not making fun of that Life, I don't know those guys. I don't know. Pray, I hope they're getting thousands of them saved. I hope they are. But there's no call to repentance. There's no call to die to yourself and to the natural things of the world. There's no call to do any of that. And that's why what we see as modern Christianity is so shallow. Well, there's no victory. Are you in Romans? Did Jared get Romans 7 up there for me? He did. Boy, 7 and 8. That's worth a read right there. Now I'm going to start. I'm going to, just for sake of time, I'm going to start in verse 4. Okay. Y'all with me there? Wherefore, my brothers, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Flesh brings death. Fleshly fruit brings death. What are the works of the flesh? We know what they are. And they all end up in death, every one of them. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For when we were in the flesh, I'm sorry, verse 6, but now we have been delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, they're not doing away with the law, but it's now become the law written on your heart. What used to be on the outside, religion, is now on the inside, the Holy Spirit. It went from the outside to the inside. Those two circles, it went from the outside to the inside. And most people don't have that concept yet. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin except because of the law. For I had not known lust except the law taught me about lust, that I shouldn't covet. The law is a schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of death. For the law, for without the law, sin was dead. See, the law exposes our sinful heart. Do you get this? Oh, my goodness. And the commandment which is ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. For the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal and sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I don't do. And that which I hate, that I do. He's talking about the natural man now. If then I do that which I would not, then I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but it is sin that is controlling me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good things. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but that sin is alive and dwelling inside of me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the spiritual inward man. See, the law of God is our bumpers to keep me lined up. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Victory over sin. It is never preached. It's like that video we showed the other day of those pastors accepting homosexuality, talking about loving people in their sin, then giving them the keys and the ability to come out of the sin. What do you say to that, Pastor Dale? You're muted, brother. You're muted. You got to unmute yourself, Dale. There you are.
There we go. God has freed us from sin, not to sin.
Amen. And that's not taught, is it? That's not taught.
The gospel is simple, brother. It's simple. We don't got to complicate it.
What do you think, Vince? What do you think? Vince may be running away brushing his teeth or something right now. Oh, my goodness. How we have got it so wrong, man. We've got it so wrong. Oh, so I'm out there with those guys playing golf, and they're saying that, but now I'm addicted. That's basically what they're saying. I traded one drug for Jesus. Jesus is now my drug. That's what they weren't being mean. They were analyzing it, right? Why? Because the natural man receives not the things of the spirit. Neither can he. They can't possibly understand it. They can't possibly. What time is it here? Show's getting away from me again. I hate when that happens. I hate when it happens. All right, Jared, let's look over here a second. Oh, I ought to take you to Romans 8, but maybe we'll get a chance to jump in there tomorrow. Go ahead, Dale. Looks like you want to say something. Or are you just still on?
Oh, no, I was muted. Yeah. Hey, here's a great word to look up, Hebrews chapter 11, and that's that word faith. You know, everybody loves that word. That word faith, that in the epistles of John, which is believe, those two words are interchangeable. The word in Greek is pistos. And belief is pissed too. They derive from the same definition. Mm-hmm. Faith, the word faith in Hebrews and also in Luke chapter 18, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he find faith? Faith is not the substance of things hoped for. The definition of pistos is this: a moral conviction in a holy God, a true salvation in Christ alone, a profession and a continual walk in that profession. That is faith.
Wow, my goodness, my goodness. And see, we want a faith that allows us to live just as close to the world as we can. Where is that line? Am I still in bounds, Lord? Oh, am I? Well, let's run the replay. Yep, no, he didn't step on the line. He's still in bounds. He's okay. No, see. No, we're supposed to have victory over sin. We're supposed to oppose sin, and we don't want to do that. Amen, amen. So, Jared, I was looking up yesterday. I get rolling around here. I lose track of what everything I'm trying to focus on. Folks, listen. We are so bombarded by the flesh. Everywhere we look, it's fleshly. Everywhere. And the attack is upon the flesh. And we are not training people to be able to resist the devil, the flesh, and he'll flee from you. Yeah, George.
Coach, like Life Church says, they say we'll do anything short of sinning to reach people. I mean, how do you do that? How do you get so close to sin and then not get sucked into it? Aren't we called to stay clear of sin, avoid the appearance of evil?
Avoid the very appearance of it, right? Avoid the very appearance. Amen. Did Shad, did you join in out there? My old buddy Shad jump in here. I saw him for a second. Maybe we got a lot of new folks in here today. Yeah, Shad's in here. God bless you, Shad. Thanks for tuning in and being part of it. Okay, listen. I got something here. It's going to take a bit of time to show it. Don't want to do that. Lord, man, I may not want to take out that much time. Okay, here's Jared. Do this one for me, bud. Pull up. It says 2%, Coach, 2% is what it says on what I sent you this morning, Jared. And I want to ask you this very simple question. Because remember, this is Coach Dave Live. We're about action. We're about fighting. Just so you know, Pastor Dale, who joined us today from down in Baton Rouge area. Well, that's not even true. I can't remember the name of your little town down there, Dale. I'm sorry. I mean, I know you're from New Orleans, Kenner. I get that. Dale's going to load up his family, and he's going to go on vacation this next week. He's going to go to Operation Save America in Louisville, and he's going to pay for hotel rooms, pay for food, and pay his way to go on vacation down there to serve the Lord. We're going to be on the streets in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm going to go tomorrow for a trial, not mine, but the support guys who are those 10 people who were arrested blocking the clinic. I'm going to go down there tomorrow, and then Pastor Dale's loading up all of his family. He's bringing them up there. He handles all the praise and worship and everything up there. Folks, man, if you can get to an Operation Save America event, you'll be blessed by that. I promise you that. So I made this video a couple years ago. I think I got it for you, Jared. There it is. It's called, well, just play it, a powerful 2%. Go ahead and play that real quick, Jared.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at NewsWithViews.tv at NewsWithViews.com. Thanks for joining us here today. You know, something just hit the news this week. It was a pretty powerful thing, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. You know, we've heard a lot about the 1%. Remember back, especially during the last election when they had the Occupy Wall Street, and everybody was talking about the 1% having all the money, and they were all upset that how could the 1% get all the money, and how could the 1% get all of the power? It's not fair. This is America. Everybody's supposed to have equal rights and equal opportunity. How could 1% be in control of the entire world? What's a good question to ask ourselves? But I had a staggering statistic that came across my desk earlier this week, and it was even more startling. As we've now found that from the Center of Disease Control, the government statistics have shown us now that homosexuals make up approximately 2.6% of the population. I want you to stop and think about that a minute. 2.6% of the population are homosexuals. Now, we can go at this thing from a couple different directions, but you would all agree with me, wouldn't you, that a 2.6, let's even say 3%, is a very, very small minority, very, very small. And we're not here to trample on anybody's rights or take away basic rights from left-handed people or short people or fat people. We don't want to pick on anybody, bully anybody here in America. But ask ourselves this question. How can 3%, 2.6% of America, how can it be so much in charge of the agenda? Look at what's going on with the Democratic Party, how hard they are pushing for gay rights. Look in your schools and the agenda of homosexuality and anti-bullying programs, which have all come out of that gay right agenda. Look how powerful that is. Look what happened to the Benham brothers. Look what happened to Phil Robertson. Look what happened to anybody who stands up and speaks out against that gay agenda. How can 2%, 2.6, 3%, how have they gotten so much power? But let's talk about something else. Let's look at Hollywood, where so much of our culture is, first of all, degenerated or debased, but where a lot of the trends come out of Hollywood through movies and media and music. I wonder what percentage of the people involved in Hollywood are homosexuality. I bet it's far higher than 3%. I wonder what percent of the guys in the newsroom are homosexuality. I can name a bunch of them right now. Ellen DeGeneres isn't in the newsroom, but look what the impact that Ellen DeGeneres has. And there's rumors that Shepard Smith at Fox News, there's rumors that Anderson Cooper, we know that Don Lemon. How, if they're only 3% of the population, how come there's so many of them on TV and in positions of authority? Now, I know what you're thinking right now. See, this makes you a little bit uncomfortable because the media, the culture has taught you that a guy like me who simply speaks the truth is hateful and homophobic. I'm not hateful and homophobic. I'm asking a question. How can 3% of the people be changing marriage, be changing employment laws? How can that be going on? The government's the one who told us it's 3%. Oh, what a lie they used to tell us, right? They used to tell us it was 10%, just a made-up number. 10% of Americans were gay. And if you ask yourself right now, if you knew 100 people, right now, you, I'm talking to you, 100 people, do you actually know 3 people who are gay? That's what 3% would be. I don't know if we do. I just don't know if we do. And the reality of it is, folks, for those who are trapped in homosexuality, that's a deviant lifestyle. Deviant means not normal. It's not normal. And unfortunately, we are trying to normalize it to our children and to the next generation. And I have to give them credit. They've done a great job for only 3% to be able to control all of academia and everything that's being taught to our children in regards to what for years was considered an abomination. Now to normalize it. 3%. 3%. What if American Christians just stood up and spoke the truth? 70%, they say. What a difference we could make. It's Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at NewsWithViews.tv at News.
boy, it's staggering, isn't it, when you look at it from that perspective? And what's happened is that 3% now is in control of many churches. The message going forth, they've done such a great job of see, the job of the God haters, I call them the God haters, their main focus has been to make abnormal normal. That's been their whole attack. They're born that way. Nobody would choose to do that, to make the abnormal normal. Now, there was a time when we called people who engaged in such thing, we called them sick. I still call them sick. They're sick. First of all, they're fleshly. They're feeding the lusts of the flesh. That's all they're doing. And we've not, done a good enough job by accepting the homosexual in. See, we put them in that black circle where they live their life and Jesus gets to come in and visit them in their black circle. They don't transport into the kingdom of our dear son. Hey, do this, Jared. I sent you one there. I just Googled this morning, perversion. Perversion. We used to say, that's perverted. Stay away from that perversion, son. Be careful. Be careful. So I just Googled perversion. What's it say, Jared? A perverted, first one says the act of perverting or the condition of being perverted. Sometimes when you get definitions, they use the root word. It's kind of still hard for us to understand. Excuse me. A perverted form, especially, look at this, an aberrant sexual practice or interest, especially when habitual. That is a perversion. So what have they tried to do? Well, look at the definition. Look at the definition. A aberrant. They want to make sure that it's no longer aberrant, but normal. You see that, folks? That's been their whole purpose, to make it make aberrant normal, to make homosexuality normal. Now, Jared, pull up the link that I sent you. Not that I'm being critical, but this is from a different definition. And what does it say? Perversion. Mine, I have it on my screen. I'm trying to see where it's from. There it is. Are you ready, guys? Here it is. The alteration of something from its original course, meaning, or state to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended.
That's the big one.
Hey. Huh? Hey, Roger, are you there, Roger? Are you there listening to us, Roger? Get Mr. Attorney in here.
I'm here, baby.
No? Hey, Roger, read that for me on the screen. Were you there, counselor?
Let me see.
What's a perversion?
Hold on.
That's right. I caught him brushing his teeth again. It's right up there. It's right up there on the screen.
I can't find it. Oh, here we go. Perversion. The alteration of something from its original course, meaning, or state to a distortion or corruption of what was first intended.
What was sex first intended for? What was marriage first intended for? What was love first intended for? Right? Now look at number two. Look at number two. Sexual behavior or desire that is considered abnormal or unacceptable. So what did they do? They changed abnormal to normal. It's not abnormal. It's normal. Who's abnormal? Well, we are. We're abnormal because we think that it ought to go back to the original intention. Do you understand what they're doing to us? And you know what's happening? The church is buying all of this. Why? Because the church is caught in those two circles. I don't know, Jared, can you pull those back up? I'm all over the place this morning, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, there you are, Jared. Pull that back. There you are. See, listen, if you've got Jesus in that dark circle, you're inviting him in there, you can do whatever you want to. He's coming in and blessing everything you do. He just wants you to be happy. He wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. He doesn't want you to ever be offended. He doesn't want you to ever have to change because he loves you just the way you are. And I would tell you this. That is where most Christians are living. Somebody say amen. That's where most of them are living. And what Christ has called us to do is to come out of that fleshly world into the spiritual world and do what? To kill, crucify those deeds of the flesh.
Amen.
So when you come into the yellow world, you will now have a different view on the world. So we are struggling and we are fighting against that black circle of Christians who have adopted all the things of the world, including not dying to themselves, not dying to sin, not hating that which is evil. That's, we are taught to accept that which is abnormal. And that's called perversion.
You mean like a California legalizing child prostitution?
I mean that, Vince. It's amazing, isn't it? People don't want to believe that stuff's going on, but it is. It's going on. I had a video I was going to play. I'll save it for tomorrow. 9 minutes long. I may not get to it because we'll be on the street tomorrow. 9 minutes long. Hey, Jared, how much time we got? Oh, I don't have time to do it. I don't have time to do it. Yes, I do. Yeah, Jared, pull it up. And just real, I want to show 2 minutes of it. May have to fast forward. Let me say, Coach, what are you talking about? Jumping around on you so fast here, Jared. Jared goes to where a video will make you sick. I want you to see this little transvestite performer. I would show, maybe we'll show the whole video later on. Pull that up there, Jared. Get away from that guy. Nothing against him. He's the one who made the video. Didn't mean to criticize him. But that's not what I want to see. Going a little bit farther. Hey, Jared, just go back to the beginning, Jared. Just let it play. Just one right there. Start right there. 1 minute. Just this 1 minute, folks. Listen to this.
Disgusting and disturbing things going on the internet. Photos, videos, and ideas are being shared on the World Wide Web that are, let's call them, less than palatable. But this is one of the most disturbing I've ever seen. And unfortunately, it's necessary to expose this stuff, if for no other reason than society could be alerted and maybe
perverted,
a little bit more informed. Please like perverted, and share this video abnormal with everybody you know.
It's perverted and abnormal.
This video will appear to some as hate speech, but it's not. I don't hate, nor am I afraid of people who believe they're transgender. I don't hate this woman because she believes she's married to and has a romantic relationship with a Ferris wheel. I don't hate this white woman who believes she's black. I don't hate this girl because she believes she's a cat. I don't hate this guy who believes he's a woman, and I don't hate this woman because she believes she's a guy. I just don't buy their lies, and I don't want to live in their pretend world. Neither I nor you have to consent to their delusion. Everybody has the right to feel the way they want to about whatever they want. A person can believe he's an alien from the planet Zarkon, for all I care. But don't try to get corrupt government agencies to pass laws,
amen,
which threaten to charge, fine, or even jail others simply because they don't submit to delusional psychopathy. I'll never try to make you believe the truth. I'll never force you to consent to the way I feel about things. Heck, I'll never even try to force you to believe facts. But facts, whether you like it or not, have no regard for feelings, and no matter how you try to legislate them out of existence, they will remain facts, and there's really nothing anybody can do about it. Thankfully,
you can stop facts there, Jared. Man, we'll pick up on this. You understand what's happened to us? We have normalized the abnormal. We've normalized the abnormal because we've invited Christ to come in and jump in this worldly mess that we have, and the churches are teaching folks that they can continue to live the life that they live, and Jesus will bless them in the midst of it. And the scripture is very clear. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And see, we're not even bold enough anymore to call something dark, dark, something perverted, perverted, something abnormal, abnormal. There's a war on for your mind, as Alex Jones would say. There's a war on for your mind. God bless you. We'll see you live and in color from Louisville, Kentucky tomorrow morning. Bless you.